The Buffalo News Ice Time podcast is brought to you by Express Windows. Windows starting at $359 installed. Visit expresswindowsinc.com.
Welcome to the latest edition of the Buffalo News' Ice Time podcast. I'm news sports columnist Mike Harrington, joined by Sabres beat reporter Rachel Lindsay, with the Sabres planning another busy week and hopefully trying to get a few more victories in their mind. You see the disconsolate nature of the locker room, Rachel. We want to get right off the top here, talking about what we've seen in the first three games. The Sabres are playing the Ottawa Senators on Wednesday night, playing Florida on Saturday, but a lot has happened already. Not a lot of goal scoring, only two goals in the first three games. But Rachel, initially, just bounce me back to Monday against Colorado, a 3-1 loss where there was a lot of shenanigans off the ice, a lot of reaction from the stands, the locker room. Just what was your takeaway from what was supposed to be a sleepy October matinee that became anything but?
You know, I'm going to go back further. It's a small sample size, but the first three games, I honestly expected the Sabres to come out of the gates a lot more motivated for the output I have seen on the ice. I was in Boston Saturday night. You know, I said, okay, you know, you got to get the legs, you know, got to get the legs moving early. The Rangers lost, 4-0 loss. Okay, maybe we can put that in the rearview mirror, but just a lackluster first period performance in Boston in the second game of the season when you should have a feel for the flow of the game. You should have a feel for who you're playing with. Instead, the Sabres took two shots on goal in the first period, and that is unacceptable for any team. There was no jump. There was no net front presence. At this point already, I'm expecting Josh Doan and Jason Zucker to want to drive the net and be motivated to score goals, but there just wasn't anything. And by the time the Sabres left the ice in Boston after the first period, the first thing I wrote down in my notebook to ask was, where was the sense of urgency? And how do you create it off the jump instead of waiting around to the second, or in Boston, in this case, the third period? And going into Monday, the team was going to be ticked off enough, like, hey, we're not happy with our performance. They want to come out with some jump. And they did on Monday. They Absolutely. Started putting the shots on goal. Lindy Ruff juggled the lines. You know, we saw a different top line with Zach Benson being out as well. They looked motivated, but and this isn't to excuse any of the Sabres' first three games, but how do you stop Nathan MacKinnon? I mean, he's big, he's strong, he's nimble, he's fast. You can't legally stop him. And Nathan MacKinnon and Cale Makar were a big difference in the game, but in the third period, there was no energy left on the ice in the Sabres. I am nowhere near the athlete that any of these guys are on the Sabres, but you know, I think about when I run 5Ks and 10Ks, the last mile of a 3.2-mile jog, that's the toughest. The third period is always toughest. That's where you have to dig deep and find yourself and push yourself. The last 2 miles of a 10K, that is where you got to dig deep and push yourself. I didn't see that team digging deep, and that is a big cause for concern in the third period, where that's a period where you make your money. That's where you win or lose hockey games.
Well, and here's what stood out to me is they had it, like you said, a good first period against Colorado. There was nothing in the third period. A little more push in the third period against Boston, especially in the last 10 minutes. But we're already in a situation where it feels like a bit of crisis mode here. When you think back to that game Monday, look at what Tage Thompson said in the locker room to the media. You guys are acting like the world is ending. Well, it's only three games. Well, yes, it's only three games, but it's three games plus 14 years. Let's just be honest here. The fans unhappy, the boos. We saw a jersey on the ice. We saw bags over heads in the picture in the Buffalo News. Just how much do you feel that right off the start here, the pressure is on this team to a level far exceeding most teams in the NHL right now?
It ain't a beautiful day in the Saberhood right now. Let's just say that. But honestly, again, I thought this team was going to come out more motivated in the first week of the season. I thought there was going to be more of a physical presence as well, too. You have Tage Thompson. I think back looking at the game recap, the game summary and the event summary that the NHL puts out, Tage Thompson led the team with 6 hits on Saturday. He is not the guy who should be leading the team in hits. He's not the guy who should be setting the physical tone. That should be a guy like Justin Danforth, Mason Gertsen, Beck Malenstein. Someone, you know, one of those third or fourth liners needs to be doing that.
What does that say?
What is it? They're not. To me, it says Wrong person's doing the wrong job.
Well, it also says they don't have the puck. You don't want to have high hit stats when you're a skater, when you're a scorer. It means your team doesn't have the puck and you're chasing the game. And that's what they've been doing way too much here, too much of the time.
And then after the game, you know, the third period really stood out to me after game Monday. And I asked Tage Thompson, I said, what do you guys have to do to get more chances? And he says, I'm misquoting me. I don't have the direct quote in front of me. And he says, you know, take possession of the puck. I'm paraphrasing what he says. And I said, well, no kidding. You guys need to generate chances. Like, I'm not a coach, but I've watched enough hockey. I've played hockey. I'm like, you got to take possession of the puck. You got to win faceoffs. You got to go for 50-50 pucks. You know, you've got to fight those battles along the walls. You've got, you know, you've got to take control. There needs to be a sense of urgency, not just from the start of the game, at the start of every period when each of these players jump on the ice. And I really think this is going to be the time. It needs to be now when the Sabres need to pick up that sense of energy, because you do not want to see a lackluster group go through, especially not with the stretch coming up. They've got Ottawa on Wednesday, Florida on Saturday. They're in Montreal on Monday. All three Atlantic Division teams. This is where the Sabres have not just, they've got to get points at this point. They got to start accruing points. I go back to what, you know, former Pittsburgh Penguin Bra Berry said to me years ago. He said, you lose 5 or 6 in October or November, you're going to get your head handed to you. 5 or 6 in a row in October or November, you're going to get your head handed to you in April. Sabres cannot continue this pattern.
Well, you have to keep going on the schedule too, Rachel, because like you said, Ottawa, Florida, at Montreal. Let's keep going here. Detroit at home, home and home against the Leafs.
Believe,
so you're talking a tremendous number of division games in October, and what we saw against Boston isn't acceptable whatsoever. What we saw in the third period against Colorado isn't acceptable whatsoever. We have yet to see a close to a 60-minute game. The Rangers game was 1-0 with 6 minutes to go. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like it was a great performance. How many of their 37 shots on goal were great scoring chances? Not very many. Not a really stressful 37-shot shutout from Igor Shesterkin in that game. So let's move on to topic number 2 here, and it really comes out in practice on Tuesday.
Don't wait months for new windows on your home. Express Windows can have them installed in just weeks with high-quality double-hung windows starting at only $359. Call Express Windows for a free at-home estimate or stop by our showroom on Delaware Avenue in Tonawanda.
Injuries are just a huge overriding topic. Now, on Tuesday, Zach Benson came back, full face shield after he took the puck in practice, probably will play Wednesday. Jordan Greenway back for the first time this season, second surgery in July. Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen back on the ice. Luukkonen and Greenway aren't close yet. Luukkonen still has to decide if they're going to go to Rochester. But the big story here, injury-wise, has been the loss of Josh Norris opening night. On the faceoff late in the game against Mika Zibanejad of the New York Rangers. Rachel, I'm interested in, first of all, your impressions of Josh Norris and the impact he was having on this club and the kind of preseason he was having. And then how much does it just feel like his injury cast a pall over the entire locker room?
Yeah. Josh Norris told us during the preseason and training camp, this is the first summer he had had that he had been fully healthy. And he committed himself showing up in camp, great, you know, in great shape, 110% output. He was probably the best preseason player in the NHL. I didn't get to watch a lot of NHL preseason games because I was covering the Sabres and trying to get my bearings in my first year on the beat, but he won faceoffs. He could be on the power play. He could back check. You know, he elevated the play of Tage Thompson and Zach Benson when they were on the lines with him as well, too. He was genuinely excited and enthusiastic about being back on the ice. Granted, he's had a history of shoulder injuries, left shoulder and shoulder surgery. I believe he had one surgery in 2023 or 2024 that wiped out a season. He had screws put in his left shoulder as well, too. But as we found out, you know, I think we watched the replay of that face-off he took against Mika Zibanejad like it was the Zapruder film. So we could see what happened. At first, I thought it was a shoulder, the way he leaned his paddle down onto the ice. No, when he went to the bench, we looked at it again. He's grabbing his left side. And I just said, you know, this could be an oblique injury again. And it was, you know, it was an upper body injury. I think it was a middle body injury. But again, he came in highly motivated, highly in shape, ready to rock this season with the Sabres. And if Josh Norris didn't have any bad luck, right now he'd have no luck at all.
No, that's true.
I hate saying it because he, you know, I really thought he was going to be a big piece of the puzzle in the early parts of the game. But you also see good teams, you know, when their star player is injured, they don't dwell. They don't let that pall that's cast upon them affect how they play. I can't really gauge if the Sabres are doing that or not, or if this is just another part of that snowball that's piling up for the Sabres early on. You know, part of me wants to say also, well, maybe it's good if the Sabres get these not great games out of the way now, so when it's February or March, they can all look at us and go, oh, we told you so. You know, that's just the wishful thinking of me. I watch a lot of sports. I've seen these turnarounds happen, and I think the NHL is an ebb and flow season, but at the same time, I'm going to go back. This team needs to develop a sense of urgency like yesterday.
So in practice today, we saw Benson back. Benson on Tuesday was with Thompson and Tuck in his spot wearing the full face shield. Certainly joked about how he wanted to get out of the hospital earlier than he did. He wanted to get on the flight to Boston. But in terms of just energy and creating opportunities for his line mates, creating chaos, how much of a difference can Benson make here in a little bit of energy injection into this club?
I think the addition slash return of Zach Benson lineup. I mean, he is a spunky little dude. What does Tage Thompson call him? The little rat. You know, he's kind of the, you know, in an ideal world, he'd be the Brad Marchand in training. He'd be the guy who gets under the skin, but knows how to score goals, knows how to create plays. He's a guy who wants to develop consistency. He's taking on a huge responsibility on that top line this year for a young guy. But, I mean, this is a guy who, he's going to step in the lineup. I think he's going to have that sense of urgency that needs. And I hope that if that's the case, and knowing Zach Benson, you know, from what little I know of him as well so far, the guy wants to be on the ice. He wants to play. He wants to make an impact. You know, I don't know if that's going to be the full key that unlocks this team, but I would hope that he would, the way Josh Norris was doing for his, you know, his linemates before that injury as well, too. But I mean, someone's got to give a kick in the pants to this team.
There's a lot of negatives, obviously, around this team right now. But let's look at one positive. Here's the negatives to me, obviously. 2 goals in the first 3 games. Mm-hmm. -8 goal differentials, worst in the league. The only team that has not led in regulation or at any point in the game is the Buffalo Sabres. Anaheim has not led in regulation, but they won a game in overtime. So they had a lead in the final score. So those are all pretty ugly stats right now. The one thing that has really stood out is during training camp, the entire talk was, is this team going to get any goaltending? Are they going to get any saves? And here we are. Would you agree with me that right now, the most valuable player and the best player in the first 3 games for the Buffalo Sabres has clearly...
I know what you're going to say. Alex Lyon. Yes. Alex Lyon has literally been the saving grace for this team. I mean, we talk about the Rangers game. Sabres were only down 1-0 until the third period. Igor Shesterkin is one of the elite goaltenders of the NHL. Alex Lyon held his own against the Rangers shooters. You know, in a way, it kind of felt like a prize fight with Shesterkin Lyon, you know. And Alex, he's an interesting guy. He's a, you know, he went to Yale. He played around in the minors, and he won a Calder championship in the AHL a few years ago with Chicago. He led the Charlotte to the AHL finals. Was it this year or last year? I mean, you know, I'm trying to get the data. He helped the Florida Panthers to a Stanley Cup run. He has seen everything. He's intelligent. He's versatile. He has this unique perspective. And I mean, he is a great story and probably only the great story of the Sabres so far, unless this team, again, get needed and other guys start to step up. I mean, I think about, you know, we're talking about Alex Lyon. You know, another great thing about Alex Lyon, you know, I'm a goalie fan. I love the stories of goalies. He has shown the value of what a guy who signed as an understudy can do, what a good number 2 goalie can do, especially in the days of right now, managed workload. You know, if you need a guy to come in a pinch, an emergency to clean up a mess, or in the case UPL goes down with an injury, it's like, all right, you're the guy up. And he handles it with just a coolness, a calmness about it as well, too. You need a guy like Alex Lyon in your goal crease. I also think about what former NHL goalie Ty Conklin told me years ago. I remember asking him when he signed, when Ty Conklin signed, he was one of the first free agents signed, I believe, in 2009 or 2010. I said, Ty, did you expect to go this quickly? And he said, actually, yeah, because teams need a proven backup, proven number two. Alex Lyon is making his money right now doing that.
Yeah, and the thing that's interesting to me is it's going to be a while for Luukkonen to come back. Mm-hmm. When he comes back, he's going to play, but they're not going to just hand Luukkonen the job on an everyday basis here. They already know that Lyon can play here. If they could get Luukkonen down to, I don't know, 45 starts, they might want to do that, especially if Luukkonen isn't playing well. So it's interesting to me to see where Alex Lyon is establishing himself in the net right away. Not that I would have ever thought the goalie would have been that valuable on this team, because we really expected that to be a weakness, but they haven't been able to score. And nobody could have envisioned this kind of offensive struggle. But at least you're right. They're in the games. I didn't really like the Carson Soucy goal against the Rangers in the third period that turned a 1-0 game into a 2-0 game. But that really might be the only quibble I've had with Alex Lyon so far. Certainly, you know, he's not going to stop Nathan McKinnon and
Kel McCarr schools Bowen Byram in front of the goal on one of those high danger scoring chances.
Not a terrible turnover by Rasmus Dahlin for the second Colorado goal. So really the goaltending hasn't been an issue now. The other question I have on goaltending is just simply, what do you make of Colton Ellis?
I don't know what to make of him yet. We haven't seen anything of him yet. I literally said, who is he? Alex Lyon had the best line when we asked him last week about Colton Ellis. He said, yeah, I learned quickly about him by looking him up on HockeyDB.
Right.
And I said, I want to say, Alex, you're not alone. You know?
Well, and here's the question, though. Here's the question with Colton Ellis. Why did you need Colton Ellis? What does that say about Devon Levi? And I know what it says. They want him to play every day in Rochester. But if you look at it, that this was an early crisis point, that they might have needed Devon Levi in the NHL, you know, what kind of chance are they taking here, rolling the dice on playing Alex Lyon every day? And I think they were going to get Colton Ellis on the ice here, but they can't without a win. They can't put him in a situation of the pressure of being a winless team. So they're kind of stuck right now.
Does that say to Alex Lyon, you know, unless they want to give him the day off, unless it's a load management issue at this point, you know, even against Ottawa, no disrespect to Ottawa, you know, they're going to be without Brady Tkachuk for a while. What would it say to Alex Lyon? Is that no, you know, we're going to use Colton Ellis in goal. No disrespect to Colton Ellis at all. He's unproven. I don't love about him. Most momentum of any player on this team right now. Got to go with him until Alex Lyon says, guys, let me take a breather. And I mean, but at the same time, athletes get into the flow. They get into the flow state. Alex Lyon probably is in that flow state already. You don't want to disrupt that as well.
Yeah, and you don't have to. There's no back-to-backs until they go to Toronto. You really have gotten to the point in this league where they just don't play goalies on back-to-backs anymore, but the Sabres don't have to do it. Every game until Toronto comes up, there's going to be a day off before, so they can keep running Alex Lyon out there as long as he's playing well.
Colton Ellis, you know, if he wants to learn to be an NHL goalie, got to throw him into the fire, too. That's the other thing. You know, what if, you know, we're going to play the what-if game. You know, what if just, you know, one of these teams in the next three or four games comes out and just, you know, barrage of shots turns into a barrage of goals. Maybe Alex Lyon needs a break. Maybe that's when we see Colton Ellis as well, too. But Colton Ellis is a baptism by fire for him. Even if he doesn't play until next week, he's learning about how to be a pro. He's learning about how to go against these guys like Tage Thompson and Rasmus Dahlin in practice. How to work with the defensemen in front of him as well, too. You know, this is more than just, is he going to play or not? This is Colton Ellis, welcome to learn in NHL. Put all this in your toolkit as well.
Okay, let's look at the last thing I want to talk about here. And I'm going to basically throw it out to say, what's next? All right. The national media, especially in Canada, are really jumping on the Sabres. Deservedly so.
Yeah.
Some of the opinions out there are frankly just misinformed. You know, if Jeff Merrick talks about signing Georgiev one more time, I'm going to scream. Because they signed Georgiev because they didn't know how hurt Lukanen was. You know, hello, it's not that hard. But the differences here with this club are that the local media and the national media have all said the same things about the status of Kevin Adams. So there's really a couple things. What's next? What's next? First of all, roster-wise, you're going to get some injured guys back. Mm-hmm. But should you be looking at Konsta Hellenius, Noah Ostlund, someone like that from Rochester to inject a little offense into this club? And then the second thing is, if this losing streak continues, I mean, I've on record since last year that Kevin Adams should be out. I don't expect Terry Pegula to do that, partly because he's paying more attention to his football team. But
let me interrupt. That hadn't been a great week for his football team either.
Hasn't
great
been a
2 weeks
week
for his
football team either. You know, but that's another problem. Maybe if the football team had kept winning, he might have said, we better do something with the Sabres. Now he's got to figure out, you know, his run defense. I just have this thought about, you know, we go through 3 years ago, the losing streak in November. We go through last year, December. Nothing happened during either time. If they run off a bad spot here in October, past the first three games, what happens here? Are we just going to continue to be on the hamster wheel with this club, or do you think they finally shake something up?
You know, we're 3 games in. You know, a lot of the players yesterday after the loss were saying, you know, we're 3 games in. Don't act like the sky is falling as well. Let's have the same conversation again after 10 games. I think we'll have a bigger, quote unquote, sample size. We'll learn a lot more of this team. They could be 0-10. They could be, you know, 5-3-2. You know, I'm throwing out numbers here as well too. After 10 games is when we should really start showing cause for concern. Now, the Sabres aren't helping their own cause by opening the season 0-3 because they haven't made the playoffs in 14 years. This is just adding this. I'm trying to find the right words for this.
Well, if they come out,
they're not revising history. They're not revising their own history.
If they're 5-3-2, you're playing Powerball. You're going to buy the ticket if they go 5-3-2, because that's not, I don't think that's going to happen. But you know what we saw last year, they bounced back in the second half of the season. But the problem is you can't dig too big a hole.
What did Bob Berry say?
Totally.
6 in a row at the beginning of the season, you're going to get your head handed to you in April. But the thing I also know is, it's an 82-game season. This is an ebb and flow season. You know, I think any season is for any team. I think back to 10 years ago when the Pittsburgh Penguins, December, fired Mike Johnston. Everybody thought the Penguins were just toast. Stick a fork in the Penguins. They were done by December.
They hated that guy.
They did. He was not the personality of that team. But at the same time, I'm not saying, but if we look historically, the Penguins turned it around, not just for that season. They turned around the culture of that team. That was in December as well. And that was another instance where it was it illustrated this is an ebb and flow season. And they pulled the proverbial trigger in Pittsburgh on a big, big thing that turned around that team at that point. I'm not saying that's going to happen for the Sabres, but I also think a lot can happen in the next 10 games, in the next month, in the next 2 months as well, too. So, I would be alarmed if they started 0-3, but I wouldn't be making wholesale changes just yet. But I'm not Lenny Roth, who juggled his lines yesterday. So.
Well, and the other thing is the fans in New Jersey were chanting fire Lindy when Ruff coached the Devils. Nobody's chanting to fire Ruff here. Who are they chanting to fire? We all know they're chanting to fire Kevin Adams. My answer to that has always been in recent years, yes, I think they probably need a change of GM, but who are they going to put in his place?
Yeah.
They're not going to promote Jason Karmanos. They're not going to promote Jerry Fortin, the scouting director, now the assistant GM. And all of a sudden, lo and behold, who's here? They have a former NHL GM, the senior advisor, Jarmo Kekäläinen, who came from the Columbus Blue Jackets, where he was GM for 11 years, sitting in the front office, and They're very sensitive to it. I wrote a story last week. Mm-hmm. Yarmo's very sensitive to the perception he was a GM in waiting, and he doesn't have to be. He's enjoying his position. All they had to do is win a few games, and he doesn't become the GM in waiting. But if this thing is a disaster, he obviously is. How much is that going to be hanging over this club waiting for the Jarmo Kekäläinen?
If anything, right now, even though, I remember reading a story where, they're trying to dispel the notion that Jarmo was brought in to be the GM waiting. But I'll tell you right now, Jarmo or Kekäläinen, he makes decisions. He's calculated in the decisions he makes. He's calculated in, analyzing. He's very much an analyst guy. Kevin Adams, turn into Jarmo Kekäläinen right now and say, what do we need to do to get things better? I think that's one of the good things organizationally, and I say this in general as well too. One of the things we used to say when I was in a former professional organization about, we look at diversity. It's not just diversity of who's around us, it's diversity of the experiences people have, the decisions they have made, the opinions they do. And, Jarmo's experiences could probably help this team right now. What do we need to do to change the tide as well, too? I mean, Jarmo did in Columbus. He made them into a playoff contender a couple of years ago. He got the late John Gaudreau to come to Columbus. He was so smart in doing that as well. I think if there's anybody needs to speak up right now, and anybody Kevin Adams needs to listen to, it's Jarmo Kekäläinen.
Well, covering the Buffalo Sabres, as I've been doing since 2007, is never dull. And Rachel, I think you're learning right off the hop what this organization can be like when you say, well, this can't get any worse. Things tend to get worse around here. The Sabres have a busy week. It's a busy schedule because mm-hmm. of the Olympics. Very compressed. But Rachel's going to be on the road in Montreal coming up. I'm going to be in Boston. We're both going to be in Toronto. And, of course, all the home games as well. So please stay tuned for the latest in the Buffalo News and at BuffaloNews.com. I'm Mike Harrington. Thanks for watching.
Express Windows is a best of 716 favorite for window and door installation. They also offer discounts for military personnel and seniors. Learn more at ExpressWindowsInc.com. Express Windows. Fast, easy, affordable.